All right, good to see everyone out. We're going to go to Psalm 23, Book of Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You once again to be able to come to You, to come to the throne of grace. Lord, we just ask blessings tonight on our message here. Lord, open our hearts and minds, encourage us, strengthen us, Lord, and we thank You for it. And these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, David wrote this, and he compares it, really, to a shepherd. To draw out a mental picture that reflects God's great love for His children. Of course, the shepherd, in here we look at as God, and the sheep, or guess who? Yeah, us. And it shows the great love that a shepherd had for his sheep. David, of all people, could really, really relate to this, because David was a sheep herder. And when Samuel came to anoint him as that he was going to be king, he went through all of David's brothers, and he's like, well, wait a minute. The Lord ain't spoken to me here. In other words, he went through his brothers, and the Lord laid it on Samuel's heart. When you get the right one, I'll tell you. You know, it would have been just a whole lot easier if he just said, hey, go down there, little bitty dude's out here tending to the sheep, he's young, he's ruddy, he's, but that's who I want you to anoint the king. But God don't always work that way, does he? And he had reasons behind it, because Samuel, when he got there, one guy come out and he said, well, surely this must be who's going to be the king. You know, good-looking guy, kind of tall, big. They were in the military. But see, God does not look on the outside. He looks on the inside. Amen? And so he saw the right heart in David. He said David was a man after God's own heart. Now, that's special to be said in the Bible. So he chose David as king. David is king, and so he writes this, and David is, like I said, is a good person to use this. Jesus also used this same metaphor over in John 10 with his relationship to his followers. So Jesus used it of us. In John chapter 10, he used it of us, how we hear His voice and we know His voice, and He's the shepherd, and you know, He laid His life down for the sheep. Now think about that. I may have mentioned this. I know I mentioned it somewhere. It may have been at camp. I don't remember. But anyway, we were doing a study actually on part of this, and you think about what sheep were raised for. In the Old Testament, sheep were raised for sacrifices, among other things. They were raised for their wool. They were raised for their meat, and they got milk from them and all these things. But sheep were also used as sacrifices. But in the New Testament, all that changed. You see, Jesus was the sacrifice. He laid His life down for the sheep. And instead of the sheep laying His life, Jesus laid His life down for us. And amen, because we don't have to worry about sacrificing on a constant basis like they were doing. You realize that was a daily task for these people. And I'm sure it got old. Had to have. But anyway, so Jesus used that as well. Now let's look at verse 1. Well, we'll just read all 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's all say this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is a beautiful passage, and you can break this down and break this down, and there's a lot of study into this. So I'm just going to skim the surface of it for us. But the Lord, the very first thing goes with the very last thing. The Lord is my shepherd. Look at the last thing, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So you ask yourself, is the Lord truly your shepherd? Do you know the Lord is your shepherd? In other words, are you saved? Do you know 100% that you're saved? Amen. I hope you do, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus. I kind of figure Sunday nights and Wednesday nights are sort of like the backbone of the church. The ones that come, listen, they're more than likely saved. You know, it's really not that big a question. But that's between you and God, because I don't know that. But so that's the first thing we look at. Is the Lord your shepherd? And really and truly, if the Lord is your shepherd, then you're following Him, because that's what the sheep are to do. And if you're not following Him, listen, sheep. Shepherd's done some things, and I don't even want to get into all that tonight. But shepherd's done some things to the sheep so that they would follow Him. Sometimes God does some things to us so that we will follow. Listen, I've got some scars from that, from not following correctly. And so the Lord does take care of business the same as the shepherd did. Now, He says here, I shall not want. You know, I've always thought about that. I shall not want. Well, listen, I want a lot. I got a big wanter. My dad always used to call me, he said want was my middle name. You know, it didn't matter where we went, Dad, I want, Dad, I want. And I don't know why that is, but that's the way it is. my son, he's here. I'll pick on him. We pull up to a store, and I probably told you this before. We pull up to a store one day, and I said, you want to go in and get you a candy bar? And he sat there and he thought about it. He said, no. He said, you just pick it out for me. It's too many selections. You know, actually that was pretty wise of he was about five. And that was pretty wise of him to say that. I don't know if he realized how wise that was at that time. Oh, he'll say he did. But anyway, but really and truly, it is. There's a lot of selections out there of a lot of different things. But this is different. It really means to not be in want really means those who follow God will lack nothing that's necessary for God's purpose to be accomplished in their lives. In other words, when you follow the Lord, we're not talking about I shall not want. I'm not going to want for, you know, this pair of jeans, I ain't going to want for that much money. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the want you have to accomplish what God has in you. He will provide you with what you need. And I'm going to turn there quickly, but Philippians 1:6, write this down. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, you don't just get saved and boom, you're saved and you're on your way to heaven. You got a ticket out of hell and everything's cool. And God says, all right, let's grab another one and shoves you to the side. That ain't the way it works. Whenever we get saved, Jesus says He started a good work in you, and He's going to continue to perform that good work in you until Jesus comes back, which could happen tonight. Amen if it does. Amen if it don't. That's the way we got to look at that. Amen if it does, amen if it don't. If he shows up tonight, hey, I don't have to pay off my truck. Somebody else can have it. You know, and my check engine light that came on. By the way, my check engine light come on and then it went off. I'm like a day later, I'm like, it corrected itself. That's good. I've already bought the part, but I don't know how long it's going to keep corrected. But anyway, you know, the Lord is going to take care of us. It means that they will be content. In other words, we're to be content. With the Lord, go to Philippians chapter 4. All right. Find Ephesians. Next book's Philippians. It's not Philadelphia. It's Philippians. Okay, Philippians. Chapter 4, verse 11. Now that I speak in respect of, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Now listen to what Paul says. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now verse 12, he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Now, what's verse 13 say? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Guess what? Paul stated, in other words, I shall not want. What Paul stated here goes with I shall not want in Psalm 23. Not only is God not done with me, He started a good work, He's going to complete that good work, but I'm not going to use the word happy, okay? Because there's certain circumstances I'm sure Paul wasn't just smiling ear to ear and happy about. But I am to be content. So if I'm laid up in a Hilton somewhere, eating medium rare ribeyes with a loaded baked potato. Whew, I like loaded baked potatoes. And a big old salad and everything's cool and I'm to be content with that. Now that ain't hard to be content with. But if I'm laid up in some prison somewhere and I ain't sure what they're feeding me and things ain't... Paul says, I'm content with that too. In other words, he said, wherever the Lord's put me, that's where I'm content. Whatever state I'm in that the Lord has put me in, that's where I'm content. Listen, we're to be that way. And guess what? How many of you here is living in a dungeon? I didn't think so. A dungeon, eating rats. I didn't think any of us was. But listen, if we got to that point, God will give you what it takes for you to survive at that time. Amen. Why don't He give it to me now? I don't need it. Besides that, I don't know if I could... people couldn't even stand to be around you if you had everything you needed from God at one time. Because guess what? You'd swell up, you'd be too prideful. God gives it as we need it. All right. Verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures and leadeth me beside still waters. He maketh me to lie down. In other words, we can lie down in peace, excuse me, at night. I can lay down in the bed at night. I don't always sleep because I don't know when to quit drinking caffeine. And my wife keeps telling me you ought to stop at about 4 in the evening. And I usually add about 4 more to that before I stop. And so I lay awake and it's like, But listen, I can lay down at night and be peaceful if I don't wake up in the morning. Now, I didn't say that I didn't want to wake up in the morning. I like waking up in the morning. Man, I got up this morning and come down here and I took a picture of it. I need to put it on Facebook. But the sunrise was just gorgeous. Oh, the sun was popping up right back over in there in these clouds, and he just had these rays. It was beautiful. I like getting up, but nonetheless, the Lord gives me the peace that I can lie down in that peace. And it come into my mind, I could step onto an airplane at peace. Guess what? I'm laying my life into the hands of some pilot that I ain't got no idea what his night before was like. I don't know what kind of life he's had. I ain't sure what he's about to do. Well, pilots, they've got it together. Well, some of them don't, because they proved that. He crashed that plane, what was it, France or somewhere? I don't forget. Listen, he didn't have it together. He looked like he did, but he didn't. You know, I can step on an airplane with the peace that says, hey, if I make it to point B from where I'm leaving, that's good. But if I don't, well, so be it. I'm happy with that. In other words, the Lord gives me that peace in my mind and my heart. He leads me beside the still waters. He calms you. He gives you that calm. John 14, 1 through 6 tells us about it. John 10, 28 and 29. I got saved and I was placed in God's hand. And then I was placed in Jesus' hands. And then I was placed in God's hand. And it said, no one can pluck me from the Father's hand. I can't lose my salvation. It's there. In other words, if I say, well, I can sin enough that I can lose it. No. If you honestly believe that, then you're telling yourself you're stronger than God. I mean, let's get real. I wouldn't arm wrestle my son anymore. I don't think I would win, but I ain't going to let him know that. There's certain people I don't arm wrestle anymore. My brother-in-law, when I was in Mississippi, my brother-in-law Al, I used to carry him around on my back along with my other two nephews. Now Al could probably carry me, but he wanted to arm wrestle. I'm like, uh-uh. Oh, you big chicken. I said, no, it's called wisdom. The last time we arm wrestled, I won. I won't say how many years ago that was. But I'm not going to do that anymore. So I'm not that strong to lose my salvation. I can't. Who takes you out of the hand of God? Nobody can. You're sealed into that day of redemption. John 14, 1 through 6, he tells us, be not troubled. You know, he said, look, I've prepared a mansion for you. I'm going to come back and get you. You don't have to worry about that. All right, verse 3 of Psalm 23, he said, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let me tell you something. Don't be afraid to ask God about what you need to do in life, whatever it may be. He ain't going to lead you down the wrong road. Lord, help me find a wife. That's what Samuel ought to be saying. I didn't say today, I said in the future, help me find a wife. That's what his prayers ought to be. Listen, he ain't old enough to pray yet. But Joey and Harley ought to be asking the same thing. Help me find a wife, Lord, one that you want me to have. Because, listen, in today's world it may take him that long to find that wife. No, I'm kidding. When he's ready for that, he'll bring the right one along. He's not going to lead you in the wrong direction. He really won't. Avery back there wants to be a bull rider. You need to talk to God about that. He may give you some common sense and you may change your mind. I don't know, but I've never met... Never mind, I better go on. I've met some bull riders that... Well, anyway... So he's not going to lead you the wrong way. He restoreth my soul, though. See, I like that part. You ever get discouraged? You ever get depressed? Sure you do. If you're living, you get discouraged. You get depressed. If you got a pulse tonight, You check it. Yeah, it's there. You get discouraged and you get depressed. We all do. Listen, the Lord boosts us. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul said, I prayed about this matter 3 times. He had a thorn in the flesh, and I'm not going to go into his thorn. But he said, I prayed that the Lord would remove it. In other words, it burdened him. It really got him down. You ever just have something that just gets you down and out? Sure, I do. Most of the time it's my kids. Well, I won't say him. He don't bother me too much. He stays to himself. But you pray about it. But you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, nah, Paul, I ain't going to remove it. Now, that's an answer to prayer. He said, no, I ain't removing it. He said, because guess what he told him? He said, because when you're weak, that's when I can take over, and then you're strong. You see, and that's the way the Lord... Listen, it ain't nothing for me to do certain things, but to do other things, it's like, wow, that's impossible, but not with Jesus. There's a lot of things you can deal with when you got Jesus. And that's what he wants us to see. Romans, let me read Romans real quick. Romans 8, 37 and 39. He said, he restores my soul. Listen, when I read this, I'm restored. He said, nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Listen, I can conquer things because of Jesus Christ, because of what Jesus did. He said, Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, there is nothing in this world that can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. That ought to be encouraging all in its own. We don't have to worry about anything else. Jesus is going to take care of us, and there's nothing that can separate us. Thou art with me. Verse 4 of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let me read something. Back up if you want to go there. It's in Joshua. You find Judges, keep going backwards. If you get to Deuteronomy, you went too far. Joshua chapter 1 says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, now this is what God told Joshua. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. For the wilderness, and from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You see what he just told Joshua? He said the same thing. Listen, I'm going to be with Moses. And if you go back and read where Moses and the Lord spoke at the burning bush, he told Moses, he said, I will be with you. I'm going to be right there. I'm going to be every step of the way. Well, he told Joshua the same thing. I'm going to be with you. He said in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. We're to read the Bible. We're to study the Bible. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Now he said in verse 9, have I not commanded thee? In other words, it is not a suggestion that we be of good cheer, that we have courage. It's a command. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. In other words, God is going to be with us wherever we go, whatever we're doing, He's there. Just as He was with Abraham, just as He was with Moses, just as He was with Noah way back there, just as He walked with Adam, He's with us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not any different. He's going to be there for us. Verse 5, He prepares the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Prepares the table. God cares for our needs. He takes care of our needs. I didn't say all, we may not be eating steak all the time, okay? We may have to eat, Vienna sausage. I like eating crackers. Good, ain't it? May have to eat Spam. That stuff that's posing as meat. And it does. It looks like, anyway. But listen, that's where we'll be. My cup runneth over probably referred to the shepherd's cup. The shepherd's cup was a huge boulder that had been hollowed out, and it held about 50 gallons of water. And when it was running over and the sheep would be sitting there lapping water out of it, that's probably what David was comparing it to. He said it runs over. Listen, the Lord's going to take care of you. Verse 6, goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Listen, if we follow the shepherd, we receive a constant guidance, help, support. No matter what happens, we can trust God. Now, this is a tough verse for me. I'm going to read this one to you. You can write this down. And this is a good verse to lean on, although it's not always easy. Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I was just talking to someone today. I was also here several weeks ago. I was with my brother-in-law and talking to him. He just lost his wife. And that verse comes to mind. It don't sound too good that somebody died. It don't sound too good what I heard by someone I was talking with today. But I can assure you that there's some good in it somewhere, or God wouldn't have put that verse in the Bible. We may not always see what it is right off, but listen, if we'll seek the answers, God will give them to us. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, I'll paraphrase for you. All the good things come to us from above. It's from God. He takes care of His children. Verse 6, He said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Think about that. Now, you ask yourself, will you dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Listen, there's only one way to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. If there is a time in your life you trusted Him. John chapter 14 verse 3 says, and Jesus, well, let me read verse 1. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, David lived his life by what he knew at the end of that verse, that one day he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He lived his entire life that way. When he went to kill the bear that come after his sheep, and by the way, he didn't do it with the 270. He done it with a sling, you know, or a staff, whatever he had. He was living on that verse. He was living that whole Psalm 23. God is taking care of me, even though David was the shepherd of his little sheep. But he knew that God was his shepherd, and God was taking care of him. And guess what? If it's my time to go, I'm gone. Ain't nothing I can do about it anyway. But that's the way we need to live our life. We need to live our life and say, you know what? I'm content with however I'm living. I'm content with wherever God's put me, whatever situation I'm in. Now that, it's easy to say, but it may not be easy to live. At the rate our country's going, that may mean a whole lot before long. But we need to pray and be content with it, because that's the way that the Lord's placed it. Let's stand. We're going to have a one verse, unless somebody moves, of invitation.